Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And open up with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and I thank you that you have approved me to be entrusted with the gospel. That's the good news of salvation through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that I will speak not as if I am trying to please people to gain power and popularity, but to please you and you alone, Father God. Let me never come before your people with words of flattery, nor with pretext for greed, and help me to never seek glory and honor from people. As I come before your people, help me to proclaim to them the testimony of you, Father God. What is that testimony? Salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. As I teach your people, help me not to come with superiority of speech or of wisdom. No, not with lofty words of eloquence or philosophy, because that doesn't bless or help anybody. Amen. Grace me, Father God, tonight to make the decision to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Father, let this message tonight and my preaching and teaching be not in persuasive words of wisdom where I would use clever rhetoric, but instead let it be delivered in demonstration of the Holy Ghost operating through me and of his power stirring the heart and minds of your people, persuading them. As I come before you, Father, I ask that you allow this teaching tonight to drop as rain and let my speech to distill as the dew. Let it fall as light rain upon tender grass and as spring showers upon the herb. In other words, let it be nutritious and refreshing and enlightening. And lastly, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and well-pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my firm, immovable, impenetrable rock and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're continuing our series on joy in the midst of trials. Joy in the midst of trials. Every time I say I'm going to forego a review, it just does not happen. So I'm going to try to do it again, but I believe that's not what the Lord wants me to do. So by way of review, try to make it quick, Lord willing. Joy in the midst of trials. Joy, again, first of all, is internal. Just a reminder again, happiness is external. Joy is internal. We talked about that when you realize that all is well between you and the Lord. Why? Because he's clothed you and I, if we're born again, in his righteousness. And he removed all of our sins and have taken them and has thrown them as far as the east is from the west. And thank God he has divine amnesia.
Thank you, Lord.
Because he says their sin and iniquities I will remember no more. Hallelujah. So all is well between ourselves and the Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8:1, to them who are in Christ Jesus. But who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. There goes that liberation again from the law of sin and death. All is well. And we went through that and said the reason you can stay joyous is because that doesn't change. He doesn't say, oh, well, you're in trouble now. You're doing sin. You're going through a hardship. Let me remove the robe of righteousness from you.
Thank you, Lord.
And give you back your sin. Can't happen. I said it can't happen. Not to say it won't happen. I said it can't happen. It is a literal impossibility. Because one of the doctrines of grace that the Word of God clearly teaches is the perseverance of the saints. We're going to make it to the end. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So joy, again, is the deep down sense of well-being. And to be honest with you personally, I can hear this every single time we come together. I don't know about you, but I can hear it every single time. Because I thank God that he's given us joy. I thank God that's one of Jesus, our Christ, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ's lasting legacy. One of it was to leave joy with us. That's why I can talk about it. And live in it every single day and talk about it again and define it every Wednesday. And not only that, let it resonate in your spirit on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Joy again is a deep down sense of well-being, comfort, security, safety, deep down sense of well-being. You know that the world lacks that. They lack comfort. They lack security. They lack safety. It's a shame that the children they're living in the most dangerous time for children. That is so very sad. They don't feel safe. They don't feel secure. I mean, it's something that this is part of the definition. I thank God for feeling safe and secure. I thank God for comfort. People live in discomfort all day, every day. But in Christ Jesus, no matter what we feel, no matter what we see, no matter what's going on, we can have deep down inside of us a sense of well-being, comfort, security, and safety.
Thank you, Lord.
As he used to say in the Baptist church, let the church say amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. And this joy, not only is it deep down sense of well-being, but it abides, not just passes through, but it abides, means that it lives in, it has taken up residence in, it dwells in, and it has settled in where? Our heart, not our heads, but our hearts.
Thank you, Lord.
The inner being, the real us, the core of who we are. And it has settled in the heart of the person who knows with deep and abiding, settled assurance, and with absolute confidence that what? All is well. Not parts. It's all well. It's all well.
Amen.
It is well. Remember, we went over that last time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been hearing it is well probably for close to 60 years. Well, I was one and 60 years ago, so maybe 55 years. The song, It Is Well. Now, mother might have heard it for 60 years because she could constantly, think things through. But I'm hearing that for decades.
Yes.
But not until this teaching has it really, even though we've sang the song too, it is well. But not until this teaching has a light come on. It's well because all is well.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's well.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not. And I guess one thing I got turned off to it because in the charismatic circles, that was like positive confession. You know, all is well, all is well, all is well. And it turned me off because you spitting that not from a deep, settled assurance and absolute confidence that all is well. You're saying that because you want all to be well. You don't want to really speak about what's really going on and positive confession and have what you say and all that nonsense. When it's way deeper than that. All is well because all is well between you and the Lord. All is well because you've been clothed in his righteousness. All is well because he's removed our sins from as far as east is from us. All is well because he took upon our sin, died our death, paid our debt.
Thank you, Lord.
That we might have eternal life. That's why all is well. And you can't undo any of that.
Glory to God.
No demon in hell, no even angel. Remember, he said, even if an angel came down preaching another gospel, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. Nobody can undo what God has done. You talking about comfort and security and safety? Yeah, we're safe. Our inheritance is safe. That ought to bring us comfort. It ought to make us feel secure. It's not this world. It's been ziggity boom the last few months. Just way 90 going north. Way out. But yet and still here we are. I mean, I just show God off too. How you doing, Mr. Harris or whatever? I said, man, I'm thriving. That's the word I'm using. I'm thriving. I'm not just making it. I'm not on barely get along street. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Kind of remember that would preach, you know. Thriving. I've gotten closer to the Lord. I've gotten closer to my queen. Closer. My faith has gotten stronger. Because I have, and in my inner man, I have a deep and abiding settled assurance. Not something that's flighty. It's settled. And I have absolute unshakable confidence that all is well. I know that. And you are to know it too. If you don't know it, you are supposed to know it. 1 John 5:13, you can write that down, says these things were written that you may K-N-O-W. Know that you have as a present possession eternal life. In fact, let's read that. 1 John, see, that's why the Lord keeps saying go, because there's always nuances of different things. It's got to obey God. And so don't worry about nothing else but obeying God. Look at 1 John. Chapter 5. I think it's verse 13. These things I've written. So what has he written? Chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the first 12 verses of chapter 5. In other words, this letter that I have written, I've written for this reason. I've written it to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And here's the purpose. In the Greek, it's H-I-N-A-H-I-N-A, which is a purpose clause. It's a reason. So that you may know that you have eternal life. You may know it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. And Nicole, let me know if I go too fast. All right, sweet. Thank you. That you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know. And it's the same word with settled and absolute knowledge. That you have, meaning as a present possessor, you already have eternal life. You're supposed to know it. My heart breaks when I see a sourpuss lemon juice faced Christian. And they really are Christian. They really are born again. They're just sour, bitter. You don't have to answer, I'm just asking. But do you know why? Haven't been taught. Haven't been taught. Most Christians think that joy and happiness are the same thing. That's very sad, because joy is not happiness, and happiness is not joy. Joy will never be happiness, and happiness will never be joy. One is based on external happenings, circumstances. The other is based on spiritual, eternal realities. Do you see why they'll never, there are two ships that will never meet cross in the night, never. We are to know that we are saved, and we are to know that we are, that all is well between us and the Lord. Amen. Okay. And then we went over a million times, sort of say, Jesus speaking about us, Luke 6:22. And I keep going over that. If when you are hated, ostracized, insulted, and scorned, and your name is scorned as evil, he said to be glad and leap and skip and gallop for joy in the day that that happens. How can the believer do that? How can that happen? It begins with the mind. We went over to Romans 12:2 again. Be not conformed to this world. Stop masquerading, which means to make a false outward show in the ways of this world, but be transformed. Be transfigured. Let what you are inwardly come bursting forth outwardly like the noonday sun, so that you are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Cannot means it as it is an impossibility. They ought to see you coming a mile away that you're a Christian. They ought to see your joy. They ought to see the glory of God coming through you. Not the sour, dour, angry, bitter Christian. Where's the testimony of the grace of God, the joy of the Lord? The person who sees it, they won't know how to interpret it. They'll just say, wow, you're always happy. Well, you can say, well, thank you, Lord. They're seeing something. They just don't know how to interpret what they're seeing, because what's happening to me is spiritual and they're dead spiritually. So they can't properly interpret it, but they still ought to see it. Mm-hmm. Let your light still shine before men. It didn't say just godly men. It said men. That word men means mankind, meaning human beings. I love the phrase distinctly Christian. You ought to be distinctly Christian, separate and apart. That's why I said, don't be conformed to the world. Don't mesh in. Don't merge with everyone else. He said, come out from among them and be separate and apart, saith the Lord. You can't have a mind transformation. You can't have a mind renewal apart from being you can't be transformed, rather, and you can't stop masquerading as the world without a mind renewal. I want to say that again because I botched that. Romans 12:2 said, do not be conformed to this world. You're masquerading. You're making a false outward show in the ways of this world, meaning you sound like everybody else. You think like everyone else. Your ideas and theories are like everyone else. Your mannerisms, your speech, your styles, and your habits look just like the world. He said, stop that and instead be transformed by the renewing of the mind. But see, the stopping of you, of your masquerading, and the subsequent being transformed are all predicated on one thing, your mind being renewed. Without the mind renewal, there's no transformation. Without the transformation, there's no stopping of the masquerade. Renewing of the mind again means a renewal, a renovation, a revamping, a makeover, an overhaul, and to sum it up, I love this, a complete change for the better of your mental process. I think we stopped here last time. Mind renovation, mind renewal is accomplished through, by, and because of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. That's Titus 3:5. He says that he saved us not as if we've done anything righteous, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that renews our mind. He's the agency. He's the power that effects and brings about a mind renewal that we so desperately need. Because see, brainwashing started at 1 month old. Right? And it went on unimpeded. We didn't know anything better. That's why some of us are struggling so mightily with these spiritual truths, because we heard them decade after decade after decade. 1 month old, 1 day old, definitely 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. We believe all kind of crazy things. They don't even realize it because they seem normal until the light of the word of God has shone on that dark, evil, demonic, wicked truth. And you realize, wait a minute, that's not wisdom from above. That's earthly wisdom which is sensual, earthly, and devilish, demonic, James 1, I think, says. Thank God that the light of God's word is exposing that. Wait a minute, I don't need to believe that. That's not right. All right. Here we'll start here. Okay, so mind renovation, mind renewal, a complete change for the better of your mental processes is done by the agency of the Holy Spirit. You must remember that. So let's do some notes here again. When we constantly, you know me, I love synonyms and just overmuch. When we constantly, consistently, and continually, and habitually surrender. Now, that order is on purpose. Constantly, consistently, and continually leads to habit. If you do something over and over again, constantly, consistently, and continually, then a habit takes over. So the order is constantly, consistently, and continually, and habitually. So that becomes a habit. When we surrender to the influence and control of the Holy Spirit, joy begins to increase in our lives as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy does not increase in your life apart from surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Now, I had yield there at first, and as I go over my notes and reread my notes, it's like the Lord changes that. See, because I'm asking, yield. Yeah, yield is cool. I like surrender better. But then what does that mean? So, you know, if you got some space on there, you know, I got to go into surrender is a powerful word. Carefully chosen. Who are we surrendering to? Yeah. The influence of the Holy Spirit and control. I want you to hear that as we take our time. Surrender means the voluntary abandonment. Now listen to that word. Where you just give it up on purpose, deliberately. You just voluntarily abandon yourself entirely to the control of another. In this case, the Holy Spirit. To give in to submit or yield, to cease resistance to, and submit entirely to their authority. I'm gonna read all that again. Brother, you do that, you're in good shape. Mm-hmm. Surrender again means the voluntary abandonment of oneself entirely to the control of another. In this case, that's the Holy Spirit. We gave some other phrases. To give in to, semicolon, to submit or yield, semicolon, to cease resistance, you're like, I'm through fighting. I remember, never forget, on my knees, and about a week or two before Brooke was born, March 1989, on a Wednesday. Never forget it. Three or four hours with Sister Jackson, got my answer, hung up the phone, went into the bathroom and dropped on my knees and said, I'm through fighting you. I'm done with it. I'm done playing with you. From now on, it's going to be your way. I'm going to submit to your way. It means to cease resistance to and submit entirely to their authority. We need to stop fighting the Holy Ghost. We need to stop fighting God and His Word. Mm-hmm. We need to cease and desist all opposition to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's part of us grieving the Holy Spirit. That's part of us grieving. We grieve Him when we fight Him. Mm-hmm. He said, don't do that. Stop doing that. Don't look at that. Read your Word. Meditate the Word. We're just fighting Him. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. I'd rather watch this because this makes me feel good. It makes me feel good. Did you catch that sentence? How often do we use that sentence? Whether we verbally say it out loud or just act on it. That's the That's the lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Remember, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, 1 John 2:15. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, rather, lust of the eyes and pride of life. What is the lust of the flesh? The desires of your flesh. Yeah, make your flesh feel good. Your flesh is not going to ever want to hear the word and meditate the word. You have to make your flesh. You must bring it under subjection. You must buffet it and subject it to rigid and stern and harsh discipline. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 9:27. He said, I buffet my body and make it my slave. You are going to obey me. I will not obey you. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Stop resisting and submit entirely to the influence and control of the Holy Spirit. When you do that, joy is going to come. Not only will it come, it's going to increase. So if you're experiencing some joy, you do this, it's going to increase. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit who does this, which is causing an increasing frequency of joy. The Holy Spirit causes an increasing frequency of joy. That's good news. By controlling the mental processes of the believer. So the incidents of joy in your life that as they increase, it's because you've yielded control, you surrender to, you stop fighting the Holy Spirit, and you have completely surrendered entirely your control over to the Holy Spirit. And when he does that, then you're allowing him to control you mentally. And as a result of the Spirit's control on the mental processes of the mind, of the believer, and as a result of the Holy Spirit controlling the believer's mind, thinking ability, moral reasoning, and spiritual understanding, the believer then is enabled to walk in the joy of the Lord. How? Through obedience to the word of God. So I want to say all that again. So the Holy Spirit is the one who, by controlling the mental processes of the believer, so when you've yielded and you stop fighting and let him control your mental processes, because how many know we all have mental processes? Amen. We all do. When we yield as a result of the Spirit's control, when I say the mental processes, I break that down. It's the mind, the believer's mind, the believer's thinking ability, moral reasoning, and spiritual understanding. When we yield our mind, our thinking ability, our moral reasoning, and spiritual understanding, when he's controlling all of that, the believer then is able to walk in the joy of the Lord. How? Through obedience to the word of God. You'll never walk in joy apart from obedience. We went over that many months ago when we first started this. So realize obedience is at the root of walking in the joy of the Lord. All right, dude, that was, I don't know if that was kind of fast, but did you understand that? Because that's actually a review from another series, so. But did you understand that? So the bottom line is, nutshell, yield, surrender your will. And let's look at back at the definition. Voluntary abandon yourself entirely to the control of the Holy Spirit. Give in to him, submit or yield to him, and cease resisting him and submit entirely to his authority and influence and control. That turn that into a prayer. Lord, help me to constantly consistently and continually through a force of habit, surrender to the influence and control of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I voluntarily abandon myself entirely to the control of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I give in to him. I submit and yield to him. And I've ceased resisting the Holy Spirit. And I've now submit myself entirely to his authority, his influence, and his control in Jesus' name. That's a prayer. That is a prayer. And when you pray that prayer, what it's going to do is remind you. Let's say you pray it. I'd recommend beginning of the day, because then that just ring in your spirit the whole day. You'll pray that prayer at the beginning of the day. Get up. Boom. I'm yielded to you. I have voluntarily abandoned myself entirely to your control. Have your way in me. Control my mental processes. That's another prayer in conjunction. Control my mental processes. And when you control my mental processes, meaning my mind, my thinking ability, my moral reasoning, and spiritual understanding, I thank you that I will walk in the joy of the Lord through obedience to the word of God. See, the thing is, y'all, the Christian wants the joy apart from mind renewal and apart from obedience. This is not going to happen. We love just ice cream and cake and just donuts and all this glazed, lemon glazed cake, Lord have mercy, with some Breyers pecan ice cream. Pray for me, David. I mean, we just want that. We love the pie in the sky dessert all the time. If you eat dessert all the time, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get fat and sick. Yeah, I was saying you're going to get sick. You're going to get fat, but you're going to get sick. And really, you're really on your way to death, more than likely, if you just, that's all you're eating. That's what our flesh wants. We got to make that dude our slave and say, you will yield authority and control. I voluntarily abandon. I love that abandon. You just, you know what? Hey, just leave me. I ain't fighting this no more. I'm not resisting this anymore. You control me, please. Control my mind. Control my thinking ability. Control my moral reasoning and my spiritual understanding. And when I do that, I'm going to walk in your joy. And help me to obey your word. In Jesus' name. That's another prayer to pray to. Let's go to James chapter 1. We were there many moons ago. James chapter 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go back to verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I feel like running. And Miss Avery, you'd have to come up and finish. But
I'll be right behind you.
Yeah, that's right. I love that. I love that. She'll be right behind me. I'm going to be running and somebody will be stepping on my heels. I'm like, Miss April. That's right. Because this joy is just too much. It's too much. Consider it all, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Remember verse 1, he's saying it's the saints that have been scattered all over. And we believe because of persecution. They've been displaced from their homelands. They're in strange and foreign lands, so they're going through it right now. Just think if you had to just go out somewhere you totally don't know. And the Lord knows, and I love that the Lord, who knows those who are his, knows when to speak a word in due season, who to bring it through, and how to give it. And God sees his people struggling. He sees them in dire straits, mentally, as well as physically and spiritually, and probably emotionally and emotionally as well. We started saying mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. It's struggling. So he moves, the Holy Spirit, by under the divine permission of the Lord, moves on James to write this letter to the saints that have been scattered abroad all over the world. And if go back to verse 1, you see he says to those scattered abroad, he says greetings. That word greetings means be glad, rejoice. He said, well, that's kind of crazy. Well, I believe James knew that what he was about to write under the divine auspices of the Holy Spirit was going to bring them joy. It was going to gladden them, give them hope, bring some comfort. You see what I'm saying? He was confident, not in his ability or what he's going to tell them. No, but what the Lord is going to say through me to you all, it's going to help you all out. Amen. So let's kick it off. Verse 2. My brothers, count it full joy, all joy, when you encounter various trials. We'll end with this. The words, all joy. Now, to a fake Christian or a weak Christian, all joy seems impossible. Because all joy means not just some joy along with much grief, but pure joy, unmixed joy, complete joy, transcendent joy, meaning rising above all others, comprehensive joy, total joy, sheer joy, pure joy. Now, how in the world you count it full joy, pure joy, when you encounter, we'll get to what that word means to fall into the middle of and become completely surrounded by all kinds of trials? Doesn't that sound like what Jesus taught? Remember, James is the half-brother of Jesus. He's sitting there at those sermons and hearing them. He sounded just like his other half-brother. He told us in Luke, you know, count it, be glad and jump and skip and gallop when you face all these things. Again, all joy means pure joy, unmixed joy, complete joy, transcendent joy, comprehensive joy, total joy, sheer joy. When we say unmixed joy, it means no grief, pure joy. Remember when I first started studying this, I'm like, wow, not even a tinge of grief or sadness or sorrow. He says, consider it. Remember, consider means to think forward, to think about, understanding that how this is going to turn out. And when you see that, that's what's going to bring you joy. So it's considering that gets you to the second part. It's thinking through the trial on down to the future. Or ahead to the future, rather. Considering the end, the outcome, the issue, the result. That's why you bring in joy. Because every single hardship, there's a reason to rejoice because of the result, not the hardship itself. Mm-hmm. Remember, we said to think ahead to its consequences and so forth to get you out of the trauma of the moment, because there is no joy in the immediate pain. The pain is happening. There's no joy there. Mm-hmm. It's the afterward that you got to look at. Mm-hmm. I have in my notes, in other words, have a settled, definitive, decisive conviction to face trials as a source of pure, unmixed, complete, transcendent, comprehensive, total joy. You have to have a settled, decisive, definitive conviction. In other words, this doesn't happen by accident. It's on purpose. It's deliberate. It's intentional. You're saying, you know what? Father God, you have commanded this to me. I'm going to do this in your grace and in your power. I'm going to, on purpose, face this with a settled, definitive, decisive conviction to face this trial as a source of pure, unmixed, complete, total, sheer joy. You don't touch that apart from the mental processes being taken over by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. One commentator put it this way: we're not to just act joyful. It's crucial. In reluctant pretense, but to be genuinely joyful. It's not acting. That's why I didn't, okay, thank you, Lord. That's why I didn't like all is well. Mm-hmm. That's just pretense. You really want something else to happen. You're going to have what you say. So if I say all is well, then maybe what's all jacked up going to turn well. That's not what he's talking about. When you count it joy, it's not acting joyful. It's not pretending to be joyful. It's genuine joy. But that's understanding that all is well, and that this hardship doesn't stop that. And I know that the result of this hardship is going to cause me to even be better and stronger in the end. Yeah. The end result. There's always purpose for every single hardship, every single trial, every single trouble, every single hardship, all of that. There's always a reason and a good reason for it if you're saved. See, the bottom line is, Job says that man born of the woman, born of a woman, days are few and full of sorrow, King James Version. Well, I mean, everybody going to face hardships and troubles and sorrows. The good news is, for the Christian, every single one of those hardships has a purpose, a godly purpose. And it's going to come to a good, godly end. That's good news. Because everybody going to have hardship. Nobody escapes hardship because of sin. It's not acting joyful. It's not pretending to be joyful. It's genuine joy that only the Holy Spirit can bring. We'll close with this. It is a matter of the will, not of feelings. It is a matter of the will, not of feelings. When I say will, it's a matter of will, not of feelings. When I say will, I'm talking about mental powers manifested as choosing, desiring, or intending. See, that's deliberate. When it's a matter of the will, it's a matter of you choosing to be joyous because God said I am to be. It's then desiring because God said everything God has for me is good. All commands from God are good. And then intending, I'm going to obey this command. It's a matter of the will, desire, intending. The will is a fixed and persistent intent or purpose. A fixed and persistent intent or purpose. Why? Because the hardship gets harder. And you're like, oh boy, this is getting kind of hard. And yet and still you persevere with joy through it all. Can you do that on your own? Don't even think about it. It's not the grit your teeth anointing. It's trusting in God. It's understanding that's why I went through that. It's the Holy Spirit that renews your mind. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that renews your mind. It's Him the one that brings about that renewal process. You can't do it. I can't do it. What we're talking about here has to be empowered by the Holy Ghost. Has to be. But understand what He can do through you. Now, He's not going to robot you. You're just sitting there and He's just going to do it for you. No, that's why we're bringing all these things about. It's a matter of will, your will. It's a matter of you choosing. It's a matter of you desiring. It's a matter of you intending to obey God's will. See, you got to choose to use the power of the Holy Spirit to go through, face this trial with joy. It's like the hammer and the nail. We talk about this many times. Hammer, nails, wood, blueprint, everything you need to build a house. And you choose to take the wood and take the nail. Okay, that's good so far. So you lay down the 2x4 and you stick the nail in there. And then you decide, you choose, you desire, and you intend to take your hand then and begin to try to pound the nail into the piece of wood. Now, is the power available? Is a hammer not available?
Yes.
Yeah, it most certainly is. But what we tend to do is the power of God is available, but we're desiring and choosing and intending to do it our own way. And when your hand is all tore up and needs stitches because you can't use a flesh hand and knock a doggone nail into the wood, you get mad at God. I got these stitches. I got gangrene. I couldn't get to the, I ain't got no insurance. Shoot, Obamacare didn't help me out this time. Where God at? You know, you mad at God and all of that. And the bottom line is, no, the hammer was there because you're a Christian. Be strong in the Lord is there. And the power of his might is there. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Holy Spirit is inside of you. Change your mental processes. But you chose and you desired and you intended to do it your way. That's not on God. That's on us. We took the wood, got the nail, just grabbed the hammer. On this case, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's will. Not feelings. It's a matter of the will. I like how one commentator says, and this should be the conscious, determined commitment of every faithful believer. What is that? To when they face a trial, to face it joyfully. That ought to be the conscious, determined commitment of every faithful believer. I'm in the middle of a trial, and I choose to face it with joy. Father, we need your help. We need you. But you know what? We have you. Because you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. You said, hey, I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. So you're right here. Help us to trust in you and to realize that every command that you give your people is within our ability, under the power of the Holy Spirit, to obey that command. And when your Spirit speaks to us and we yield control to him, and with our whole heart, we will agree as a matter of our will, and our answer will be yes, Lord, yes, in Jesus' name, amen.